Welcome to the Shut Up and Ride podcast. We have a guest today, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very excited, but I'm not going to introduce her just yet. First of all, I'm going to say thank you very much to Charles Owen, our wonderful sponsors, who are just amazing and are going to keep Simon's head nice and safe because he has Burly coming up. How are you, Simon? Are you stressed? Are you okay? I'm worried for you.
I'm slightly stressed at the moment, but I'm okay. I did a bit of schooling yesterday, and I feel a lot happier about what I'm doing cross country wise. So yeah, no, I'm quite a happy boy, and actually I feel in a good place, so especially for the jumping side.
People think that you event riders all have your shit together, but you've called in a few friends, haven't you, to get training? Like old Pigs there, I saw on social media, Piggy March.
Yes, I am. I spoke to Pig about so at Burley at fence number 7, and not that I've been examining the course at all. There's a step up bounce to a shoulder brush, and so I've never jumped anything like that. The horse that I've got has never jumped anything like that or seen anything like that. And I was thinking, oh, I really feel like I should do like a mini version and practice it. And I rung Pig, or she rung me, I can't remember. And I was talking to her about it. She said, oh, you'll be absolutely fine. He's a cross-country machine. You're experienced, know what you're doing. You know, just do it. You'll be great. And I was thinking, oh, I'm not really sure about that. So I rang Roz Cantor, who's brilliant. And I said to her as well, I said, oh, you know, I was speaking to Pig about it. And I was kind of thinking I should practice. But do you think I'm overthinking it? And Roz was like, the fact that you're talking to me about it right now means that you've got to go and do it. Because it's all about you right now in the run-up to this, something like this. You need to be in the right headspace. So you need to go and do that, to go and tick that box. So I actually went to Piggy's because she was very sweet and let me use her water jump. And there's a step there. I built a shoulder brush on there with a bounce and went through there a few times, and he was absolutely brilliant. To be fair, the first time he did it, he was a bit like, what on earth is this? So actually, I'm really pleased that I did it. So I can go in with confidence and as I approach, I'll be able to say, right, okay, so I think he'll read what we've got to do here because I practiced. Practice makes perfect and all that, doesn't it, Jenny Rudall?
Look at you calling in a little help from your famous friends. Do, speed down, Piggy March, please.
they're so amazing, both of them. They're such phenomenal riders, in different ways as well, and really lovely girls. You know, they really are. They're really kind souls.
And it is nice to know that it's not just us normal humans who have wobbles and get inside our heads and think about shit. And yeah, our next guest is a coach.
What amazes
so she's nodding.
Me, what amazes me is how it can go from you're like, yeah, I've got everything together, this is great, off we go. And then literally the smallest thing can make you go, oh my God, I can't do it. Or yeah, this isn't good enough, or that's not good enough. And all. It's mental. It's mental. Well, exactly, it is mental.
You've just explained it right there. And we don't have any Benji today. He sent us a message. He was meant to be here. He's on set filming something. He's very cryptic. So he might be joining in at some point. But our little superstar Benjamin is not with us, but might be later. So we have a guest. Now, I went on a bit of a rant a few episodes back. I think in the episode called The Whip, The Welfare and The What The Fuck, if anyone wants to go back and listen to it. And you asked me what annoyed me this week. And I then had a bit of a nervous breakdown, apparently. And I went on a bit of a rant about how my hormones have annoyed me and how I'm perimenopausal and I'm on like a HRT journey, although I have now started HRT, hurrah. I cannot tell you how many women got in touch to say how this resonated or how it kind of made them understand how they were feeling. And a lot of people sent me a message saying, I have to speak to our next guest. They were like, she's done research on it. She sent out a survey and loads of people and so many people. So I was like, right, we have to delve further. But if this, right, I can tell now some people are going to go, oh, I don't want to listen to this podcast now. It's going to be about hormones and stuff. If you're a man and this offends you, we give no fucks. You need to listen because you are a friend, a mother, a daughter, a sister, a brother to a girl. You'll have a girlfriend. You'll have friends. Someone in your life might be affected by this. So if I could just ask everybody to listen, or women, play this while your husbands are listening. This is the thing you need to do. Because do you know how much I have tried to understand what is going on in my head and how many things I see online about how I should take these supplements, wear weighted vests, meditate, go stand outside for half an hour with my feet on the grass, breathing in deeply. What the fuck? Who has time for that? Go journaling. I have no 3-minute journal every day. Will sort your life out. Millet fuck. I try and write 3 minutes every day. My children start colouring it in. There is all this stuff going on about what you should do. But what I think first of all and foremost needs to happen is understanding why this is happening. I'm starting to call it cougar puberty that I'm going through. But Steph, Bradley, you have, welcome to the podcast. You have basically, I had a conversation with you the other day, and what you are doing is unraveling this world of perimenopause and menopause for the masses. You're a coach. Welcome to the podcast. I'm already sweating. I'm actually sweating already in this. I'm so excited to have you on the podcast. I genuinely, when I started this podcast, Simon, did you ever think we would have this kind of a conversation on the podcast when we started?
This was definitely never in the plan.
Well, I'm glad you have.
But here we are.
Here we are. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And you're super excited as well because you are a coach. You're a dressage rider and you're very excited for this information, which I know because I'm feeling it, but to share it with someone like Simon, who is a top level coach as well. Like, I know that was something you were very excited about. But welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you. And just thanks for the opportunity of sharing my research and hopefully just raising awareness, which I think is the main point of this.
So can you, first of all, just explain like who you are and why so many people have told me I must message you as the goddess?
Steph, like, because I'm great.
I'm the goddess. I think my journey started, I ride dressage and I'm of an age and I hit about 52 and I was in pain. I had a confidence crisis. I couldn't even canter my horse. Who's the safest horse in the world. I was forgetting dressage tests and I was just in so much pain. I was going to physio all the time. I was like, my hips were really hurting. And I was like, oh God, this is it. I don't think I can ride anymore. I'm going to have to give up. This is just, you know, and I only run an equestrian center as well. I really love my horses. I love my competing, my dressage. This is just the end. I don't know what to do. I was going to physio, not getting anywhere on painkillers, had an MRI. They said, well, you've got arthritic hips. Well, what do you expect? You know, you're going to be in pain. Surely not. At the same time, I started having hot flashes in the evening and at night. And so I sort of, oh, here we go. This time of life as well, on top of everything else, I'll have to toddle off to the doctors. So I toddled off to the doctors and was given some HRT. And funnily enough, within a few weeks, my hip pain stopped. My confidence came back. And I suddenly felt normal again. I felt normal. I thought, crikey. At the same time, I was on what's called the British Equestrian Level 4 coaching program through Gloucestershire University. And I'd just done the 2 years and I was thinking, I'm going to stay on and do the master's. And I was really keen to try it. I thought, well, what can I do? I'd like to research this because not only have I got my own personal lived experience as a rider, as a coach and as a saddle fitter, I'm seeing this with all these ladies that are maybe 35 plus, coming into a saddle fitting, not wanting to ride. In a coaching session, you just said turn left and they turn right. Oh, sorry, I forgot, you know, didn't realize what you said. Or if you say go and do this, they've forgotten what you've said. Scared to go and do a dressage test, don't want to canter. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, there is something here. So I decided that as part of my master's with Gloucestershire University, I would actually think, well, let's look into this because it's not explored. And there was only one research paper done, and that was on master's swimmers. So swimmers over the age of, I think it's 25 for master's swimmers, looking at the impact of the menopause and perimenopause on those athletes. I thought, well, no one's looked into it. I'm going to look into it. And so devised a survey, which was about a 10-minute long survey. And I was thinking, oh, it might be a bit long here. And the final question was, if you'd like to share more of your experience, then please, it's all free format, share away. And the survey very much was asking everybody whether they were employed within the industry, whether they were just amateur riders, professional riders, competing, non-competing, receiving coaching, not receiving coaching, and just generally finding out about them. Then asking what symptoms they'd suffered with, and then which ones, if they had felt any, had impacted their competing their motivation to ride or their or being coached. I had 1,629 responses in 16 days from female equestrians, which in a general research, when I've said that at academic research conferences, it's silenced the room. So clearly this was something that people felt very strongly about and that they really wanted to share.
And that's not putting that, you get that kind of a reach if an influencer is sharing it. I'm not trying to your social media standing, Steph. Yeah, no. But, you're not someone who's got 250,000 followers. So that is within a very small pocket of...
Absolutely.
Basically, anyone you touch basically replied, I would have thought, in to put it in perspective. Yeah, imagine if Simon had shared it for you. You would have been like, can people stop sending responses, please?
Exactly. Well, we had to shut it down. I contacted my university supervisor and said, shut it down now. You've got far too much data to be able to analyse all of that. And what was really telling was the final question of those 1,629, probably about 55% of those people wrote something in there. And that was just the quality of that information. It was heartbreaking reading some of it. Someone put, thank you for bringing up this subject. I felt I was losing my mind and I felt very alone. You just think, why aren't equestrians supporting each other and talking about this? And why is it we're being so stoic and just sort of getting on with it? And that's why I wanted to come on and share some of the results, because I think they're quite interesting. I think for any husband or daughter or son or male coach or female coach, I've got quite a lot of information that would be really quite telling in terms of just to make people think a bit more about what their students or coaching students might be going through.
And just to give some context, because I think some of your stories from that info is really interesting, because for me, oh my God, I'm actually sweating right now. This is so bad. I think some of the stories really highlight some of the difference. So what I found was when I went to the doctors first, they were like, right, antidepressants or the coil. And where they were like, are you having hot flashes? And at that point, I wasn't. And I think I've been in this since I had my daughter at 38. So when you said 35, and I've had a lot of people message since putting out the podcast going, oh, I think this might explain how I'm feeling, but I'm only 37. So I think, first of all, the number is quite interesting. But I think as well, because I wasn't having hot flashes, therefore, I couldn't be perimenopausal. But you have found that the symptoms, but a lot of these people then are just putting these symptoms which are being caused. People are like, well, my doctor says I'm not having hot flashes, so I've just got to suck it up. And then that's been quite interesting, hasn't it?
I think there's a couple of things there. So the first thing is that GPs are not given sufficient training in this area. And you're right, the very first thing they will do if it's a mood swing thing or whatever is they'll reach for the antidepressants and say, here, there's a script for the antidepressants, and not looking at things more holistically. I think that, people are, there's no hot flashes.
That's really dangerous though, isn't it?
Yep.
It's really dangerous, like to just throw someone some antidepressants because they're actually perimenopausal, mm-hmm. could create even more like
the money that's spent on it.
Yeah,
So
I went to a gynecologist specialist in London because I was diagnosed with something called PMDD, which is, I told you about before, Simon. Which again, most people have never heard of. I heard about it. When I heard someone talking about it on the radio, I nearly had bloody cried because I was so excited to hear someone else talking about it. But a gynecologist who was meant to specialize in it put me on antidepressants just the week before my period, just for that week. Even I know that that's not how antidepressants work. You have to let them build up in your body. So I was like, I think she was just giving them to me so I'd go away. I honestly think that. And she was a gynecologist specialist in London. Like, you're completely right. It's terrifying. So I would have just been putting these drugs in my body for 1 week of the month, having no effect. And that I was just like, at that point, I just didn't have the energy to question it anymore. And I think that's where women get to, is you don't have the energy to question the doctors, so you give up. Whereas I feel like with me, I'm like, no, I will not fucking give up. I will fight until I find a doctor. And I have luckily now found one. So tell us some of the other stories that you've had, Steph, because some of them are literally heartbreaking.
They are heartbreaking. I mean, I can just from my own personal experience, the hip pain I had, I was going to the physio and not getting anywhere.
What caused that hip pain? Sorry, because I was thinking that.
I think it's called gluteal tendinopathy, which is really common in women of our age that are into this sort of menopausal, perimenopausal age. And it's just basically because when your hormones are impacted, it impacts your muscles and your joints and the sort of like lubrication of the joint and the collagen reduces. So the hormones are in your brain and they affect everything. They can affect your pain receptors, for example, as well. So if you can actually go have almost five times the pain that you normally would have, which is, so I still have got hip arthritis, but I can ride my horse. I've just done a Grand Prix. I can still do extended trot sitting. I couldn't before. And it's because my pain levels are actually being managed now because my hormone levels are how they should be.
Does that make ovaries sore? Because that's kind of in that vague area, isn't it? Or is it?
Well, the hormones are, it's a more of, I'm not the medically trained person. You need to get a medically trained person on. But basically the hormones control your brain. And then obviously that impacts all parts of your body. So it's not just your girly parts. It's everything. It's sort of like everywhere. So pain receptors, collagen production, joint fluid, so many things, you know, your mood swings, such a lot of things that it controls.
So if you had a backache before being a horse rider, like the kind you get if you were doing sit and trot or whatever, you can suck it up. As a horse rider, you just get up and you go, oh, fuck it, it's a bit of pain, whatever. But, and it's the same with me. I've actually got hip pain at the moment and I'm seeing my physio and it's not getting better. So something you would normally be able to suck up, you're now like, yeah I can't bear it. And that's because your hormones aren't kind of defending you, I suppose, in a way, from that pain. But
I nearly went for a hip replacement. I nearly went under the knife. If I hadn't have had at the same time these hot flashes, I had no idea that this pain level was because that's unbearable pain, burning, awful, horrible pain was because of this. So I think that that's kind of like a really important message to say is that, you know, don't just take your, you know, physios need to start thinking about more holistically about the person they've got in front of them in terms of their age group, in terms of the pain they're in. But yeah, the stories that people have given me, one lady said, by the time I'd gone through the menopause, I thought I had dementia and depression. HRT has saved my life. Honestly, there are so many quotes on this. It is heartbreaking.
Does the kind of depression side of it, or the feeling really low side of it, is that the hormones playing havoc with that?
The hormones
Or is that as a result of what's happening?
I think probably both, because that part of the, when my survey, I looked at kind of physical symptoms, cognitive symptoms and psychological symptoms. And in each one of those, fatigue came out. So either fatigue because they literally were not sleeping, fatigue because they're in lots of pain, fatigue because they were worrying unnecessarily or anxious or lacking confidence. Some women were having panic attacks that had never had panic attacks before. And then sort of like the kind of like not being able to remember things, worry if you've got a busy job, if you're trying to remember things and suddenly you've got lots of forgetfulness and you know, you can't remember that you've got this thing you've got to do and you've forgotten to do it. And all of this can all add to that whole sort of like horrible time and picture. So the stories were just, they're kind of like, I got one lady, before I did my research, the big questionnaire, I did just four semi-structured interviews in the second year. And I did it with dressage riders. And one lady told me, she said, I said, just describe how you feel about this whole time of your life. And she says, well, it's just been torture. The last 9 years have been torture. Riding has saved me because I love my horse and I go and do it. But equally, I've been going through so much in terms of like feeling that I shouldn't be doing it, that I should just leave it for the kids to do now because I'm too old, I'm too, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm just so tired all the time. I've got fatigue, sleeplessness, anxiety. And then she went to her GP and was told that she was too old to have HRT. And she just took that as gospel. So she just literally suffered for 9 years. So at the end of it, I just said to her, listen, why don't you go and get another opinion or go down to the Newsom Clinic or something like that and have an online meeting with one of the specialist menopause GPs? And I saw her at the nationals, at the Dressage Nationals, probably about 6 months later. And her husband came up and he shook my hand and he just said, thank you so much. My wife's back. I've got my wife back. And she just looked so happy. And you know, you just think, oh, my word. But, she, you know, then so many stories. One of the ladies I spoke to, she was obsessed with competing. She suddenly became uncoachable. She couldn't listen to what people were saying. The results kept going down. She kept going out competing. And she just became more and more desperate with her, you know, to go out and compete. Another lady, she used to previously evented and team chased, and she was riding it into one, competing it into one. And she suddenly said she couldn't get on her 14-year-old horse as she was too scared. Just one day. But thankfully, she was based with a coach who just said, get yourself down the GP. I think I know what this is. I've gone through this. And
wow.
How many people go through that on their own and don't tell anyone? Think about, you're on a livery yard, that one person that maybe just is there all the time, their horse is looked after within an inch of its life, they brush it, they do everything, their stable is immaculate, but you never see them ride. And they're like, oh, they never ride that horse. Maybe they're going through this. Maybe they're terrified. Maybe they've got the fear, anxiety, all of that that people go through. So it's just, you know, I think we all have to think about things a little bit more holistically when considering female equestrians.
Mm.
Simon, you teach a lot of women, and we have a lot of women on this podcast. I don't know, when I was teaching as well, I feel like it is hard because people, like horses as well, you're costing you a ton of fucking money. They take up so much of your life. For me, or for lots of people, like just to get that hour in the saddle has taken childcare, planning to get to the coach, trying to organize. So in that moment, there's a lot of pressure in the first place for that 1 hour to go well, or half an hour or 45 minutes. Money as well comes into it. So to then be on the horse and feeling like you feel, or exhausted, like the tiredness, I cannot tell you. I have to pull over the car sometimes just to, and I give my kids my phone and I have to just fall asleep for 5 minutes because it's dangerous for me to drive. That's how tired I get. But like, Simon, you teach an array of women. Do you see any kind of, sometimes some people coming in without the same vigor or without the same, or putting more pressure on themselves?
Yeah, but I think with that happens in kind of all the way through. You do get people go ups and downs. But I have had it numerous times now when I've had ladies that are like, oh, you know, I'm going through the change or whatever, and they're like, so you're going to have to repeat that to me because I can't remember, and I forget stuff, and you know, it does happen quite often, especially learning courses. I say, right, we're going to drop that, and then they're really intelligent women. Like, more often than not, I teach a lot of ladies that are incredibly successful at what they do, like in their normal day to day job, and their riding is their kind of passion. They enjoy it and they're very good at it, and they're really intelligent women, and then they're like, I'm really sorry, I'm going to have to say that again because got a bit of brain fog kind of thing. And they know. And they're like, I blame it on this. And actually they laugh about it normally. But I would imagine that it's just like the layers of it, aren't there? And stuff that it affects you in so many different ways. Like, you can deal with one thing, not being able to remember stuff properly. Ha ha, isn't that funny? But if it keeps on going, more and more stuff. Oh my God, it must be just an absolute nightmare. Like a nightmare.
That's a really good point, actually, the layering of it all. Because one moment you think, oh, I'm having a day where I don't feel mentally awful, but you look in the mirror and your skin is covered in spots and you're like, oh, fucking come on. Jesus, can I not just have a day where I don't look shit, feel shit,
help
feel
me
tired?
Out here.
Yeah, come on. And especially in my job where I have to be on television and like you're on the screen and you're just like, oh, fucking hell. Oh, give the job to someone in their 20s. It's not happening.
Go. Another thing that I've kind of noticed, and I'm not sure whether this is really kind of related or not, but like slightly older ladies, I've had a couple of like deep meaningful conversations about stuff. And ladies kind of that are a little bit older, very often they kind of, like, I spoke to one lady specifically, and she said there's like, I've become invisible because I'm older, and people don't communicate with me as much, or they not avoid her, but like they just kind of, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like she said, I just feel invisible sometimes because people don't. It's not like it used to be because I'm not of any use to anyone, and isn't that awful? But I don't think she's alone. I think lots of older ladies feel like that.
Again, that can boil down to confidence again, you know. So a lot of it came down to, so of the people I interviewed, 70% felt they lost confidence in some way or another. 70% of those 1629 felt they lost confidence, whether it be temporarily, partially, or completely. And that might not just be riding horses. It might be in actually just talking to people. Weight gain was a massive one that people were saying that they put weight on when they went through this time of life. And that also then impacted their own, because their own physical perceptions, their body self-perception. So they felt like, and then am I being cruel to my horse? If I ride my horse, am I overweight? Am I overweight to my horse? And then that becomes another kind of like worry that they have.
And that's a really big thing at the moment, isn't it? With like, yeah. which weight yeah. and weight ratios and stuff. Which is good. I mean, it's a good thing to be.
Absolutely. But
aware. When you're quite big anyway, and like to lose weight, you know, and because like people being big, like it's not necessarily just because you've been eating loads. It's like there's so many different elements to it, aren't there? And but especially like the younger generation, it's straight like, oh gosh, well, she clearly doesn't do any exercise, does she? And she's exactly. been eating a few too many pies and all that kind of stuff, which is, you know, maybe there might be the odd person like that, but actually lots of people, it's because they're not right, or they've got issues, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, also the estrogen. Yeah, when your estrogen levels drop, you don't break down fat in the same way. So I over the last 2 days have done two massive hikes. We're talking Ben Nevis-esque hikes. Eaten very little because I can't hike. Old me, if I'd have eaten that much and done that much exercise, I would have weighed myself and lost half a stone in 2 days. Like in my 20s and early 30s, literally. I used to be able to go out for a weekend, ride horses, go out, party, hardly eat anything, and I would lose weight. I am now at this stage where I have this middle to me, which holy Jesus, God knows why I have to have it. I do more exercise than I ever did, different type of exercise. I do weights. I go to the gym 5 times a week. Can I lose this extra weight? Can I? And it's so soul destroying to the fact that you go, oh, fuck it. I may as well just eat the chocolate anyway. Do you know what I mean?
But on saying that though, Jenny, that's not just women. Like that's
no,
the same
and that does that's again that and that is something as, that Steph was talking
as soon as
about.
I hit four as soon as I hit 40 it's like the magic number as soon as I hit 40 I like before I could eat whatever the hell I liked. I could eat absolutely loads of crap and like loads and loads of crap, and I'd be skinny and I would be lean and I'd be fit and whatever. As soon as I hit 40, can't do that anymore. No. You just, I can't.
And again, it's really interesting because the hormone does control, for example, diabetes and stuff like that. It can, so actually having your hormones balanced as a woman, it can help make sure that diabetes stays at bay, osteoporosis stays at bay, dementia stays at bay. So it controls all of the things that could potentially trigger all that kind of stuff off. But my real interest, I think, in the next sort of 10 years, it's going to be, okay, well, we've got all this stuff we're looking into about women and the menopause. What about men? You know, if testosterone is, for example, I've gone on testosterone. That has been the absolute, really massive change for me because it's given me my energy levels back and everything else. Now, whether it's allowed or not as a drug to compete in my sport. I mean, all I'm trying to do is put my levels back to where they should be, because when I had a blood test, it had dropped down quite significantly. But again, for men, how does that impact men? So my question is now thinking, well, okay, well, does testosterone in men, as it drops down, as it naturally will do over time, does that then increase your joint pain? Does it increase, you know, your aptitude or things like
that? I mean, surely it must do, mustn't it?
I would think so, but no one ever talks about that.
I think it's because of my age. It comes up on my feeds, like on my Instagram feed and Instagram or Facebook, whatever it is. And it's like, do you have low testosterone? Do you feel like this? Do you feel like that? Are you basically getting fat, or are you really tired, or is your sex drive really low, and all that kind of stuff? I'm like, no to all of that.
Lucky James.
Lucky James. So it's obviously a thing. Like, low testosterone is clearly a thing with men.
And it's, can you, Steph, tell us the really interesting about testosterone and athletes?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, as men, as Simon, you can actually go and take testosterone and you can compete and you can be tested and you are fine. As a woman, you can't. You're not.
No.
Not okay. And that, I think, needs to be looked at, because I think as we're starting to realise how important for normal daily participation and performance in any sport, that level can drop. And therefore, there must be a natural level, and it's making sure that natural level is met. But, you know, some people do need to have supplements of that hormone. So why should it be banned for women and not for men?
So if I need to have more testosterone when I'm continuing on this HRT journey, my dreams, if I need to go on testosterone, my dreams of throwing the javelin at the Olympics are out the window. I can't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not happening. So with this, so anyone listening to this who's thinking, oh shit, this is how I'm feeling. So some of the more obvious ones are lower tolerance to pain, which is definitely one for me. I actually had a frozen shoulder, and I think that was down to it as well. How much physio didn't work, it just got better. I get dizziness and labyrinthitis at certain points in my cycle, which is just rubbish, but progesterone has actually massively helped that. Obviously, the sweating and the not sleeping. Uh-huh. For me, one of the other ones is one glass of wine, I will not sleep that night, which is insane. Like, literally, alcohol affects me so badly now. I'm also an absolute Larry lightweight. But I think for me, it's... And all of those things, I'm like, yeah, I can suck up the pain. Well, actually, I can't. Some of the pain is awful. But for me, it's the anxiety, the lack of confidence, and the feeling sad. Like, and I spoke about it on the last podcast, and like, genuinely, I can have one day or 2 days in my month where I just do not want to be on this planet anymore. I feel of no use to anyone. Like, the sadness is so unbearable, and I literally just—it's just so unbearable, and. If that was to hit on a day where I had to do a dressage test or compete at Burley, for example, there's a lot of women this age who compete at that top level. I think the horses do snap you out of it. I think when you're on a horse, for me with the depression, I can zone in on the horse and I can focus it. But it's then when all...
Yeah, but they also potentially pick up on it too. And that actually then makes it into even more of a spiral, because then they pick up on it and then they go not going as well. And then that makes you think, oh, I can't even ride now. And that makes it... ends up just being like a snowball effect, doesn't it?
Which is... I think there's a real need for researching this aspect of it as well, because, you know, when you look at statistics of riders overall in terms of male-female balance, and then look at riders overall at elite level, you know, why is it 50% of the people that responded that were eventing or show jumping stopped doing so, and they went to what they considered a less risk sport? But again, if you've got somebody that's in the lorry, I mean, there's a recent study just been done at Hartbury, and I think it's someone that did some research on sleeping whilst away at an event. And the research came out that, you know, obviously lack of sleep means that lack of focus, and you're going riding around Burley is pretty serious, because you need to keep your concentration going. So if you're losing concentration because of all of this, so, you know, does that mean then that we are losing riders at an elite level that could potentially have carried on had they had maybe some advice or awareness of this might not be just you're getting a little bit, you know, you've had kids or whatever, and you're starting to feel a bit nervous about competing at that level? Could it be that actually by a hormone imbalance, you actually could have kept going at a higher level? I don't know. I just think it's a really interesting thing to look at from an elite equestrian perspective. And then from like everyday perspective, I mean, things that come out, and I'm going to get a bit gruesome now, vaginal atrophy is a big thing. So saddle soreness as a saddle fitter and a coach, you know, you suddenly see the rider sitting in a different way or looking very uncomfortable, not wanting to do sitting trot, or, you know, being averse to doing sitting trot or whatever it might be, and looking uncomfortable. You know, there's things we can do to help them. So there's like saddle pads we can put on, and there's all sorts of things that can happen. But unless somebody talks to you about it as a coach, it's really hard to solve for them. As a saddle fitter, I've had probably about in the last 3 months, I've probably had about 3 or 4 people that have come to me that have said, I'm really uncomfortable in my saddle, and I'm riding dressage and my advanced medium, and I'm really uncomfortable. What can we do? And we've played with putting pads underneath the skirt of the saddle just to broaden it, to make it a little bit more comfortable, putting a foam pad over the top, all sorts of things. And then the other thing I've said is, well, pop yourself down to Boots and go and get some cream that the cyclists use, because female cyclists have exactly the same issues in terms of getting saddle sore when they have got, basically, again, lack of estrogen can affect your pillows down there. And so therefore the pillows become a little bit flat, and therefore when you're riding, it can get quite sore and rub effectively, which can be very uncomfortable. So there's so many things that you can do, but you know, how many people actually give up because they are uncomfortable in the saddle? And it's sad. I just think, well, you know, when there's easy solutions, but if people are too embarrassed to talk about it, then, you know, don't be embarrassed. Sort it out.
Talk about your vagina. Talk about it. Shout the word. I'm very big on my daughter using the correct terminology when she's talking about, because when I was growing up, you had to call it your dinky or something like,
the vagina.
And for many reasons, you should be able to talk about it in the correct way. I do remember her one day riding round Talland on a pony in front of Pammy, and she was Daisy, the pony that Pammy used to let her ride, was as wide as she was long. And Delilah just going, mummy, Daisy's so wide, my vagina hurts. And it's just like all of Talland coming to a silence, which is excellent. But if you said the word penis, nobody batters an eyelid, or willy. But you say the word vagina and people they almost clench their teeth. If you were to wear a seat saver, like a fluffy pad or something, is that allowed in a dressage test or a venting or whatever?
I think the Acaballo pads are. I shouldn't do something. A word of a company, but
you're fine. Don't worry.
All right. So jelly pads are okay. I think the fluffy ones, I'm not sure if they're legal in dressage or not. But I think you can use all sorts of shims. You can shim your saddle for yourself rather than for your horse. That's what perfectly okay. Which is what I've been experimenting with some clients, and it's been working really, really well. And actually, what's been interesting is they've only needed it for a certain period of time, and then suddenly the situation has resolved itself. So. It's quite interesting. So whether this is just a temporary situation, then they've got their hormones in balance again, I don't know.
Definitely. One of the things I think that's so hard, because like I've had certain symptoms that have then been there for a while. And especially in perimenopause, your hormones are fluctuating. They're not just dropping. So they can go back up a little bit. So you can feel like this for a bit and then feel fine again. But I think what women need to be doing is monitoring these things. And are they cyclical? Are they just a one-off hit? Do you know what I mean? Because then with that information, the doctors do take you more seriously. So say, for example, you've gone for a lesson with Simon and your vagina's been sore. You can look back in your diary and go, I remember with that date with Simon. I had sore bits. But yeah, I think that is half the problem and why doctors until now haven't really listened to women. Because I listened to a brilliant podcast with the Diary of CEO, who the doctor on there was a menopause expert. And she said that one of the reasons she went down this route is when she was training as a doctor, and you have to do your session, your certain amount of time as a GP. She said she went in on her first week and was chatting to the other doctors, and they were like, oh, you're going to be on, MWs today. She's like, what? You've got a day of MWs. She said, what are MWs? Is this some secret medical term I don't know about? They were like, no, moaning women. You'll get all the women today that are in their 40s and 50s that just come in moaning for no reason. And that was like 20 years ago. And obviously 20 years ago, these were just perimenopausal, menopausal women just looking for help. And they were just known by doctors as MWs. And that podcast I listened to, and that was when I was like, I am not an MW. I am a tough woman. I am just being brought down by this shit. So it is just nuts how medical science is now only just starting to catch up with it. But it does feel like, as a woman, you're jumping on a bandwagon. Like, it feels like, do you know what I mean?
Sorry, I have a question. So I've had it a couple of, well, very few times, but a couple of times now where I've had two times with two different women where they've both said, I think I need to finish now the lesson. And nothing's been said, and I've just been like, and I was like, I think she might have just wet herself, was one of them. And then the other one, I was just like, I think she just might be a bit sore, because like just the way that she'd been. And I was like, okay, no problem, that's cool, well done, that was really good, whatever, we'd go back and talk about something that was really good, and then I'll see you next week, or whatever, or let's put back in. Should I have done what I did? Should I have glossed over it and been like, there's clearly an issue here, but, you know, that's fine, this is private and she doesn't want to talk about it? Or should I be saying, right, okay, so if there's a problem, do you want to talk about it? And should I have the tools in my kit to be able to say, well, actually, this could help, or that could help, or the other could help?
It's a really good question to prepare, Simon. So in the research, it was really interesting from a coaching perspective. I think it was 50% of women that answered the survey were happy and comfortable to talk to their coach about any perimenopausal, menopausal symptoms they were having. 50%. 1 in 10 were happy to talk. And it's to a male coach, which you kind of go, okay. And I think, again, one of the things I've done from my research is I've done what's called an infographic, and I've done one for coaches and one for female equestrians. So even, I think you did absolutely brilliantly, by the way, and just sort of saying, yeah, absolutely fine, no problem. Because it's up to them. If they don't want to talk about it and say, literally, I've just peed myself, or I've just had a random blood loss.
Equally,
she might have done, because that is something that definitely came out from my research as being an issue when people, that's one of the reasons why people don't have stopped going coaching, because they were embarrassed and they felt like, oh, I don't want it to happen while I'm having a lesson, because there's nothing more embarrassing, particularly from jumping. And then the other thing I've done is like an infographic, and then it means that if I can give these out to coaches, then coaches can give them and just even say, listen, I don't know if it's of any help, but I've got this, and it just gives some information about how to get help, how to, where to go, that kind of thing. It's just trying to create more awareness, isn't it? But so, sometimes when those things happen, I had one lady that said in the research, she said, I was in the middle of an area festival and literally had a situation with blood, and I was midway through my test and I had to just carry on. She said it was just the most awful situation. And I think it's understanding that these things can happen, and it is part of menopause, perimenopause can be an unexpected blood escape. And if you're wearing white jumpers and jumping, you probably don't want to, it's embarrassing, you don't want it to happen. That's why all these dark jumpers now and all of that kind of stuff now is so important, because I think it will help keep women in the saddle, which perhaps before it might stop them from competing.
A friend of mine, we were show jumping the other day, and she was there 1 minute, and then she was gone, and then she came back and she said, oh my God, bloody nightmare, I just had to go and buy myself some new white breeches because there's bled all over the other ones. and she thought it was hilariously funny. She was like, I'm a big bleeder, so it's quite funny. But she's quite hardcore. That some people that would really affect, like that would be really upsetting.
I wouldn't handle that well.
She thought it was hilarious. She thought it was very funny to tell me, but I don't know.
You're easy to talk to, Simon. Simon sends me like clips from women's comedy nights where they're taking the piss out of hormones and stuff, whereas most men would not even watch it. but I think what we have to remember as well is, I think the next generation are growing up a little bit more open. So when I had periods as a kid, I went to an all-girls school, and if I had to go to the bathroom, I used to hide my tampons in my skirt to go to the bathroom. In an all-girls school, I was at my brother's house the other day and I said, oh, I've got my period. And my brother went, don't talk about that kind of stuff. I couldn't talk about that stuff in front of my dad. I remember having an accident on the sofa and literally hiding it with the dog until my mum came home from my brothers. Like, we're a generation where we were told to hide this stuff. We were not told to walk out with tampons in our hands. Even now, yesterday I was on a hike and I was like, I really need to, so just hid my tampons in my pocket. 50% of the population are using these things, and yet we feel the need to hide them in our pockets just to get to the loo without anyone seeing them. I would love to be in a situation where you could get in the pub, get your phone out, put your tampon on the table, like without men recoiling. Like you are, like, actually, I know I could do that with you, Simon. But I think because we've been brought up being told to hide our periods.
But you say that though, Jenny, like you absolutely could do that with me, because like we're really good mates.
100% I could.
But I did have it, it was quite a few years ago now. I was remember being at a show and this lady was coming out of the canteen as I was going into it, and she opened the door, and then she kind of opened the door and kind of held it for me. And then I was like, oh, thanks very much. And then she walked off and then she dropped something. I was like, oh, excuse me, you just dropped your tampon.
A tampon. Almost like Miranda, like a tampon.
I was like, I don't know what to say now. And she looked really embarrassed and I was really embarrassed and it was really awkward. But like you say, that shouldn't really be a thing, should it? She'd be like, oh, whoops.
I know, but it is. So then we're this like generation of people who've told not to talk about tampons. So how the fuck do you think we're going to talk about vaginal atrophy or whatever the word is? I can't even say it.
Atrophy.
Thank you. Or the fact that you're on estrogen, which is making your bleeding 1,000 times worse, and you're absolutely terrified of then it happening during a dress. Like all these things you're now experiencing, it almost feels like you can't talk about those as well because you've been told not to. Oh, you're back. Don't worry. Because you've been told not to talk about tampons for the entirety of your life. So I think that's why in that lesson situation when someone might have wet themselves or got sore bits or whatever, it's so hard to talk about because you've spent your entire life being told to hide your period. And so I'm trying to bring my daughter and my kids up not to, like, because you have no privacy when you're bringing up children. My son walks in and he's like, oh, mummy, you've got your period. I'm like, yes, I do, James. He's like, oh, okay. And he walks out again. And I am trying to make it as normal as possible for him and for my daughter. And like if they walk in and I'm doing something, I don't shoo them out. I'm like, okay, I'm changing my pad. And they literally stand there and chat to me like it's normal. And both my kids don't think anything of periods now. And I'm like, if I can give any advice to anyone with kids who are that age, just make it normal. They walk in on you doing it, just let them walk in on you doing it. Because my son now, like, just doesn't care. He knows mummy gets periods and he doesn't think anything of it. It's so normal. And I think that is why it is so hard to talk about it, because we've been told not to. And hopefully, if women are listening to this and you're having lessons with Simon Grieve, you can say if your vag is hurting with confidence. I hope so, Simon. I've just spoken on your behalf.
No, well, I mean, I'm quite happy to talk about anything. Like, you know, it's not, as for me, it's not a big thing, but I think it is for a lot of people.
And I think Ben is the same. I think there is a lot of men out there who would be more open to it than women give them credit for, I think. Would you say that, Steph? I think
definitely. And I think if people have got the knowledge, again, knowing that, you know, this kind of stuff is what's happening, and frequently, you know, according to the numbers I've got, then you're going to be a bit more on the lookout for it and thinking, okay, I need to be, you know, just open to it and just, you know, is there anything I can do to, you know, help or
be understanding of it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just being kind and understanding and just, you know, I think it's the other thing I think that I like the phrase is not medicalizing it. This is normal. And I think that the more we can educate people to say that this, you know, this isn't a medical situation. It's actually a normal. This is what happens to you. Just like puberty, menopause is just another phase of life for women that we all need to know about. And we should be educated about it at school.
It's a reverse puberty. Cougar puberty. Steph, we are obviously not medical experts. We are trying. We've had loads of messages to try and get Louise Newson on.
Fabulous.
Because she is the medical expert, but we can still offer advice from my own experience. It's about journaling, monitoring, not journaling. Don't fucking journal. I don't know. It probably helps, but for me, it doesn't. About noting your symptoms. I have got the Moody app. I keep a track on them. And then when I went to my doctor, I could say, this is how long my periods are. This is what, when I'm feeling down, this is, there was a massive, when I got my labyrinthitis, it was at that point in your cycle when your progesterone drops. Haven't really experienced it since I've been on the progesterone. So that's one tick. Lots of other shit still to work out, like the depression. Nothing is helping with that right now, but we'll get there. Seeing my little Siamese beautiful face definitely helps. What would be your advice for anyone? First of all, from a symptomatic point of view, if you feel like you're getting symptoms, what would be your advice?
I think the first thing is be aware of what the symptoms can be. Because so, like you said, frozen shoulder. I've heard people say, oh, I've got terrible shoulder pain. I think it's just arthritis. I think it's this. I think I'm thinking, you know, that could be actually symptomatic, but that might be the only thing that you have. So I think it's about being aware of what the symptoms can be. You know, UTIs, urinary leakage, hot flashes, hair loss, bones breaking. You know, I've got a number of clients that are of a certain age where their bones are starting to break. They're breaking their bones really easily. So they're not coming for lessons because they've broken their finger or they've broken something else. And you're thinking, oh, you know, because they've got weak bones because their hormone levels are lower. Teeth grinding, headaches, migraines, tiredness, insomnia. You know, it's trying to keep a checklist of what these symptoms could be. And and they're different for everybody. And I think that's what's really important. Everyone thinks menopause, hot flushes. That's that kind of, I haven't had those, so I've not through the menopause yet. But you could have so many other things, and it could be mood swings, or it could be more, like I said, cognitive, and it could be psychological, or it could be physical. So it's just keeping a clock on all of these things. What isn't quite going right? And it's really funny, because when you start talking about it, you think, well, actually, this and that and the other, and then you add it up and you think, well, actually, this could be because of. And I think that, you know, that would be my first thing, is just be aware of what the symptoms are, then keep a track of them. And
anger.
If you feel like...
Anger.
Oh, yeah.
Anger. Oh, my God. I'm so angry all the time. So angry.
Yeah. Panic attacks, anxiety attacks, you know, anxiety about things that you've never been worried about before. I've got people in horse world, what do I see lots of? People that don't want to drive their horse box, or don't want to reverse their trainer, or don't want to drive their trainer, don't want to drive their horse, don't want their responsibility anymore.
When they always have before.
And they've always done it before. Another classic that you see, that, you know, it could be that that could be because you're being anxious, overly anxious, because your hormone levels are not under control and are reducing and could need some help. So, you know, I think that it's a case of trying to keep a log of it. And don't be frightened if you don't get anywhere with your GP, because they are hit and miss at best. Go and get some specialist menopause advice, like through the Newson Clinic with Dr. Louise Newson. She's absolutely brilliant. That's certainly where I've gone and got help from. So
it's a little bit different. I had a DVT in 2013. It was a few years ago now, and my arm was, I looked like the Elephant Man, like this, and his arm was huge. And I went to three GPs, all in the same week, and none of them diagnosed it. They all got it wrong, and a specialist got it wrong as well, to be fair. But yeah, I was, ever since then I've been like, I always think it's probably worth going and get a second opinion if you're not 100% sure.
Yeah, 100%. And the Dr. Louise Newson book is called The Definitive Guide to Perimenopause and Menopause. I will put the link in the description, because that book is incredible, and it helped me, because she actually talks about PMDD and all of that, and she is amazing. From a coaching perspective, Simon, if someone's feeling shit, what could they do as a coach? Like, before the lesson starts, message you in the start? Like, if they felt uncomfortable, do you think a WhatsApp, like, how as a coach would you, like, want to have that discussion? Would you want to have it before the lesson? Like, what, like, how could women, like, help themselves?
Absolutely. I think it's really important that you know, because I'll do that when I'm coaching. Like, my first thing would be like, so, what have I missed? How are you doing? How are you feeling? How's everything going? And when I ask that, I expect to be filled in with kind of everything, really. Like, you know, how's the horse been going? Have you been to any shows? How are you feeling? And actually, I had a girl that rode, it was a couple of weeks ago, in a lesson, and she just didn't ride as well as normal and just didn't seem as kind of like on it as normal. And sorry, this is slightly off. And she said, yeah, no, absolutely fine. I said, is everything okay at home? Like, you know, like, as in, you know, because you're just not quite as on it as you've been in the past. And she's like, yeah, no, everything's fine. And then her mother was with her. She's like, actually, she's really stressed, works really hard at the moment. And they were building something at home as well. And like, it's all very, very stressful for her at the moment. So actually, no, you've hit the nail on the head. I think she's actually like quite stressed out. And so it's affecting her. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, so like, we should talk about that. And but that was kind of all at the beginning. Like, well, no, that was a little bit later on. But like, I'd like to be able to discuss that at the beginning, personally, because then I can tailor whatever needs tailoring. Because like, the next time I saw that lady, I kind of scaled it all right back so that we could just have a really nice time. Because she's another person that works incredibly hard to have her horse and didn't enjoy it because she was stressed about everything. And I was like, well, let's just scale it all back so you have a lovely time. That is the whole point of this. I think people improve when they're happy and enjoying it. I don't think people improve when you're being unpleasant or bullish. That doesn't work.
I think you're right. And what I see is that some people want to come to a lesson and they come to forget about whatever they're doing, isn't it? And it's that balance of, well, do I let them tell me, or if they tell me they're not going, am I going to push for that information, or am I going to just let them just go and just say, how do you want, what do you want to do today? And if you see it going wrong, it's about being flexible, isn't it? Thinking, okay, well, listen, it's, you know, something's not quite right. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's absolutely fine. But shall we do this instead today? So we have success.
Yeah.
And I think because
without the mother being there in that situation,
you wouldn't have known.
She would have told me she was fine. I'd be like, oh, okay. Well, I'm a bit odd. And just have that kind of change in performance.
I think it's about being flexible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Steph, what is your message to coaches out there? What male, female? Yeah. Because again, we get a lot of coaches who are very qualified and very able in their 20s. Coaching women who are much older. I mean, I was in my 20s and I was coaching women all the way up to 70. Do you know what I mean? And I look back now and I'm like, oh, fucking hell. Actually, I think I was always quite sympathetic. Because obviously coming from no money and knowing how much one lesson a week was so important, I think I was always like, I am going to make sure this person has a good time. But I think now I would be a better instructor knowing what I know now in my 40s.
It's about reading the room, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. No, reading the room, not just sticking to your agenda as a coach.
Yeah, and having some empathy. You know, a lot like coaching back in the day was like you shout at them and make them do what you're demanding of them, and it's not like that now. And I think that's a good thing. It's absolutely a good thing, because that, like, going back to what I was saying, I think people learn when they're enjoying and having a good time. That's when they learn best, I think.
Yeah, and I think I'd probably be a bit more sympathetic to those doing sit and trot without stirrups for hours on end of a certain age.
Anyway, sorry, I completely interrupted then because Steph was answering that question.
No. I mean, yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's just, you know, it's looking out for things, isn't it? Like, suddenly, if someone's sitting in a different way and they're looking like they're not able to sort of like sit in a more balanced way, and you're seeing something, or you're seeing a little bit more fear than perhaps they would have had before, or you're seeing that, you know, that, you know, you've asked them about when they're going out competing, or I'm not going out competing, or, you know, there's so many signals and signs, aren't there, without actually finding out, you know, how are you in that respect? You can get lots of information from them. And I think that, you know, it's just really, as I said, just being flexible in the session, making sure they go out of it enjoying it. So then they come back, because the numbers of people that have actually given up, so I think the stats were something like, where are they, somewhere here, 62% of the 1,600 people stopped having coaching sessions. 62% of women stopped being coached.
And from a coach's perspective, that's your income. You are losing people if you're not encouraging people and being understanding and changing and adapting. Sorry, I spoke over you, Steph.
No. It was staggering. And then 60% of those that were continuing, of the 38% remaining, continued but felt that there were symptoms were impacting their sessions. So, you know, a high percentage of those people that continued felt like, you know, I couldn't remember, I couldn't focus, I couldn't, you know, I didn't feel brave, whatever, I was worried about getting too hot, I needed to run to the loo. There is no loo where at the equestrian centre where I have my lessons, I don't know, whatever it might be.
Oh, that's the worst, isn't it? When you don't know the loo, or if you've got to battle spiders in the fucking toilets because they're so disgusting.
And then on equestrian, like, we've got, I think it's a really good thing to do. I think all equestrian centres should have a ladies pack in their toilets. So if somebody does have an emergency, they've got all the things they need in a box. Here you go, up in the corner, help yourself. And I think that's a really important thing to try and do if you've got
to put stuff in.
Yes, exactly.
Honestly, the amount of times I've been on a yard and I've needed to change my tampon and there's nowhere to put said tampon. Do you know how fucking awful that is? And if people wonder why their toilets get blocked, I've never done that. I've managed to hide it or do something.
I've thought that before. You do, like, a lot of these equestrian venues, there's a big sign saying, please do not flush anything other than toilet roll down the toilet. And I was kind of thinking, well, what are they supposed to do with that stuff then?
Yeah, if there's no bin or supply, or there's an open bin and you know there's a queue of people to go in it and you've had to put stuff in an open bin, you wrap it up in tissue, and if anything's got periods like mine, it's like the Chainsaw Massacre. There's no hiding that stuff. And, oh God, just think, if you're a man who's got a toilet in an equestrian facility, think about women. Because honestly, people, little things like that. Thunderbird Show Park, where I work, you go in, there's tampons, pads, deodorant, hair clips, everything in each of the toilets. And it honestly, it's such a relief to know that if I forget all my stuff, I know I'm fine.
Or you get caught short. If something happens while you're there, you're covered, isn't it? It's just knowing.
Yes. Right. This has been excellent. I hope it's helped people. And if you're a coach, just do think about this stuff. If you're having any, like, feel free to message us if you're thinking you're on this journey and you want help. But Steph, we always end this podcast with a what has annoyed you this week. Would you like to go first or last?
Last, please.
Oh, okay. I'll start with Simon then. What's annoyed you this week, Simon?
Myself. My lack of organization, really. So I've been knowing that I'm going to be doing Burley Horse Trials this week for, well, probably a couple of months. But definitely. And I was like, right, I'm going to be really organized. I'm going to have all my washing done. I'm going to have the lorry's going to be immaculate. Everything's going to, I'm going to have it, like, the living's going to be beautiful. It's all going to be fabulous. I'm going to have all my ducks in a row and everything's going to be sorted and organized. And it's just not.
There's not even a story there.
It's just not. Like I was like, I'm going to definitely make sure I've got my weekly shop done so the lorry is well packed and stocked. Haven't done that yet. I'm going there tomorrow. So, you know, stuff like that. I was just like, why can't I just be really organized with stuff like that for once in my life? The actual, like, riding side of stuff, like, and the fat and the fitness and my fitness and all that kind of stuff, that's all sorted. It's just like the other things, like making sure the lorry's really nice, making sure that I've got enough seats for everybody, all that kind of, why can't I have had that organized ages ago? I'm gonna be running around like a lunatic tomorrow getting my washing all done and dried and trying to sort out that I've got everything in the lorry. So yeah, myself and my disorganized, but my disorganized.
Wow. So you can't
make
even say the word.
You make lists.
Oh, you say that, make a list, but then I find I don't have the time to make the bloody list.
Oh, I love making lists.
I'm rubbish at making lists, but I should do lists.
I am so bad at making lists. Really, really bad. I don't know if I've got what's annoyed me this week. I've got a lot of Lego going on upstairs right now. And I love my kids and I love Lego, but fuck me. If I hear another rattling bit of Lego going up the Hoover and my children demanding I dig it out, I'm absolutely going to throttle someone. Like, Lego is the best and the worst in the world. But yeah, Lego is driving me potty at the moment. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. And then when they're playing with it, because they've got different, like, Harry Potter Lego, and there's masses of it and we have it in a big tray. Mummy, can you help me find Harry Potter's wand? Which is millimeters big in a tray, King Lego. And I am a sweaty hormonal mess. And they want that one specific bit of Lego. Anyway, that's stressed me out. Lego, which was very non-horsey of me. Sorry. But no, that's about it. And also, I'm now feeling very anxious because I'm going to do work for Clip My Horse at Calgary to do Spruce Meadows. I can't even get it right. Why are they employing me? And I'm stressed at I love being live, but I'm quite annoyed at my own anxiety about going. So I need to get over that. That's annoying me.
Don't be anxious about that.
I know. I just want to do a really good job. And I'm like,
you will do a very good job because you're amazing.
Well, thanks, Simi. So yes, I'm annoying myself at my own stresses about it. Steph, what has annoyed you this week? Oh, she's inhaling.
Yeah, so many things. No.
And she's off.
I love this. This is great therapy. I had my Grand Prix official debut the other day. It had to be official because I'd already ridden a Grand Prix unofficially. Well, I thought it was official, but it wasn't allowed because apparently they changed the rules, British dressage changed the rules, and you have to do 2 into 2 classes and get over 62%, and I didn't know that, and none of my coaches knew that, so nobody told me because it's a new rule. So I went out and did a Grand Prix and got just over 60%, which I was very pleased with my first one.
So that's very good.
Well, wait there.
Well, that was back in April. So then I had a few things happen between April and now, and I went out and did my proper official one the other day, and I went wrong.
Oh no!
I know. And do you know what they give you? Knock off your score. It's not just 2 marks at Grand Prix. It's 2%.
That annoyed me.
I know. So anyway, that annoyed me. That's what annoyed me this week.
So British dressage have annoyed you. Let's round that up.
No, don't say that. Jason's a neighbour.
Oh, we had him on the podcast. Have you listened?
I know.
Yes. So yes, we had anyone who wants to go back and listen. We had the CEO of British Dressage on the podcast, Jason Vortigam. Right. Simon's network's gone again. Simon, stay still.
Oh no, sorry. I was going to show you my the ducklings.
Oh. Oh, he's got ducklings. Oh, you might grab one and bring them. It back into Signal. Oh God, this is what happens on these podcasts.
Can you hear me?
Then it takes me ages to edit it because Simon's frozen in time.
I'm back.
There he is.
Yay!
Sorry. I wanted to show you our ducklings. We've got loads of ducklings, but the Wi-Fi doesn't stretch that far.
Why have you got ducklings? Is there not enough shit going on in your life?
Just because James likes birds.
No, he doesn't like birds, Simon. That's why you're a couple.
Yeah, exactly. But no, he's a big bird fan.
Aww.
And they're really cute. I'll send you a picture later.
Okay, send us a picture and we'll put it on Instagram. Okay. Have you named the ducklings?
Don't be silly.
Oh, I would definitely name one. We had ducks when I was little. They were called Fries and Oven Ready.
we've got six so far, and I think there might be some more in the incubator upstairs.
Oh, that is cute. Okay, that is very cute. Yeah. Right, Steph Bradley, you have been an absolute joy. Anyone, where can we see? Like you were talking about your infographic and stuff. Can you share that with us? And I can.
I can ping the QR codes over for you for that, and then that you can share them out.
Perfect. And brilliant. If everybody listening,
thank you so much,
can
Steph.
Everyone annoy Dr. Louise Newson so she comes on our podcast so we can put this research with some medical advice. That would be amazing. Thank you so much for taking time out, Simon. I will speak to you personally before you go to Burley, but. I, and on behalf of everyone listening to this, want to wish you good luck.
Thank you.
I will be an emotional wreck, but you are handsome, you are brilliant, and even more so, you're a fucking brilliant horse rider and very talented, and you deserve to be there and riding and at the top level again. And I'm very proud of you, and you're going to be amazing.
That's very sweet of you. Thank you very much.
Good luck.
I'm very excited about it. I think it's, I feel like I don't think I've been as prepared. For a 3-day, for a 5-star before. So I'm excited. Hopefully it's going to go well.
Excellent. Right. Well, good luck. Steph, all that is left to do is say thank you for being on the podcast and shut up and ride.
Thank you.